Time for us to talk food this morning. And was it last week? I think it was last week. Dr. Anna Trapeda and I spent some time at the Pruleith Culinary Institute for afternoon tea, which was a treat. And so that's what we'll be talking about this morning. Joined, as always, by resident chef and food anthropologist, Dr. Anna Trapeda. Dr. Trapeda, a very good morning to you.
Hello. So, it was last Saturday.
Yes. So you may remember a couple of weeks ago, we went to Fordsburg in search of butter biscuits. During that visit, your spare wheel was stolen from your car. It turns
out... But, you know, the biscuits were worth it.
They were. The biscuits were worth it. But turns out you are not alone. There seems to be quite a big increase in the theft of tires and wheels in 702 land. So I just thought you might want to know that your spare wheel being taken, it wasn't an isolated incident. But unlike you, other people don't have delicious biscuits to console them.
Rainbow Swiss rolls.
You just walk out.
We had a very nice day.
And your spare wheel is gone, but you also have no biscuits to kind of go, well, that's not great, but I have deliciousness.
You know, it's just horrendous. And I know that we're sort of teasing, but it's a real pain. And people should be able to have rainbow Swiss rolls and car tires.
Yes.
It shouldn't be an either or.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to choose one or the other. So last week you and I met in Centurion for afternoon tea. And you know, interestingly, I thought afternoon tea and high tea are the same thing. They're not, apparently.
No, they're not. But afternoon tea is the fancy treat that we had, that it's, you know, you have it mid-afternoon, that it comes on the tiered cake stand, you have scones and little cakes and finger foods, and, you know, that is afternoon tea. That high tea is actually just supper, that it's what people traditionally ate at higher tables, as opposed to sitting on comfy armchairs for afternoon tea. And it's really just what working class people in sort of 19th century England had as their last meal of the day after coming back from labor intensive jobs. So it's a substantial savory meal, that sort of fancy Nancy thing we had, that sort of elegant ladies have. That is afternoon tea and was invented by a woman whose name was Anna, Duchess of Bedford. And she invented it. I think she's my hero. She invented it to fill the gap between lunch and dinner. So it's like this non-meal. It's a bit like Elevens's. You know, nobody needs afternoon tea. It's just that thing for that little bit in your stomach that between lunch and dinner.
Right, just to tide you over to get to
we
dinner.
We all need cake and scones before dinner.
Yes, just to, you know, just keep you going lest you perish. And so the thing with afternoon tea is technically you don't need it because it would have come after lunch. If you've had lunch, there's dinner coming. So it's a bit of a treat, I guess.
Well, you know, the thing is that because you don't need it, it has to be perfect because that's the only point of it. So, you know, that if an afternoon tea is disappointing, it is more disappointing than other meals because its only point is to bring joy. So absolutely every piece of pastry work has to be perfect, that the shell of the macaron needs to crack in exactly the right way, that the pastry on the little fig and blue cheese tart needs to flake in just the right way, that, you know, your iced tea cocktail needs to be perfect because there's no other point. If it's not perfect, there's no point to it.
And of course, the one we attended was at the Pruleith Culinary Institute. That's in Centurion. The first time I had gone, I didn't actually even know that the institute was there. It's in this tiny little, well, not tiny, but it's in a residential area. You'd almost miss it if you didn't know where you were going. But it was quite a treat. It felt like such a nice little find.
Well, it does, doesn't it? It feels like a kind of secret that only you know. You get to, you know, these sort of ye olde gates, and inside are lawns and lavender and an elegant French restaurant manager, and, you know, that they immediately kind of seat you and offer you iced tea cocktails and sparkling wine, and it just it feels like a secret treat that only you know about. I should stress that actually other people do know about it, that these afternoon teas are once a month on the last Saturday of every month. And you do need to book, because while you feel like you're the only people in the world, actually they're quite popular.
And I thought that the menu was quite exciting, also because I must say I'm a pudding person. I love a sweet thing. And the bulk of what was on the menu was sweet treats. But if you're not a sweet treats pudding only or pudding first person, there's also some savory stuff.
The whole thing is just glorious. That actually, I think that restaurant at the Prulies Culinary Institute is the great sort of unacknowledged gem of new African cuisine, that they managed to make an afternoon tea that was both very kind of classy and classic, but also very South African. That, you know, that there were milk stout pies and little smoked snook croquettes and, you know, all sorts of lovely savouries. And then really cute things, like, so the scones were made with amasi. Now, that's a relatively common thing to do, but there was a Herzog-inspired Swiss roll. So it had, like, apricot compote filling, and then Italian meringue that had coconut in it, that was a sort of topping, so that wispy bit on the top of a Herzog was represented like that. There were peppermint crisp macarons, which is such a cute idea. Mango and baobab petit gâteau. And, you know, I think that the thing that I adored more than anything else, I mean, I adored everything, but there were little one bite fig and blue cheese tarts, which even won you over, because you said you didn't like blue cheese. And I said, no, you have to try these. And you are a convert to the blue cheese kingdom.
I am. And, you know, I'm such a fussy eater. I don't like sweet and savory. So that tart had quite a difficult job. I don't like fruits and cheese together. I don't like fruit on my savory stuff. It doesn't work. But it was really good. It was so delicious. Even if you aren't, you know, you don't like fruit with your food, you don't like blue cheese, it was done really, really well.
No, it was damn fine. And the little lamb pies, they were teeny tiny. I mean, literally one bite lamb pies with little tiny puff pastry lids. And I mean, just when you do something tiny, you've only got one bite to make an impact, you know, you really have to get it right first time. There's no second bite. And God, they were little bites of heaven. They were so delicious.
Yeah, those were really, really good. And those peppermint crisp macarons tasted like a peppermint crisp. It tasted just without the tennis biscuits, which is often the base of your peppermint crisp tart. But it felt as if I was eating a peppermint crisp. It was so much fun.
I think, you know, we have to acknowledge the pastry chef, the grown-up pastry chef, is Marcel Marais. And then he's got a whole lot of students, because this is a chef school, working with him. But, you know, Marcel he's just very, very clever, that everything he does is technically highly skilled, but also just witty. And I mean, a peppermint crisp macaron, it's funny and clever and cute. And the Herzog-y Swiss roll, and, you know, just everything is both, you know, high skill and also just makes you smile, you know, that he's a fantastic pastry chef.
Yeah, I thought that high tea was delicious. The sweet stuff was lovely. The savory stuff. They had a smoked snook croquette, which was also really, really yummy. Even if you don't really like snook, because it is quite a strong taste, it was done so well. It tasted a little bit like haddock. So still quite strong, but not as aggressive as snook can be. It was such a treat. And the tea that we had on arrival in the iced tea is Sitsong. And Sitsong is just lovely. They make such delicious teas. In fact, I've been thinking about going to find some. So the whole thing was just lovely. And it was with the drive to Centurion.
Absolutely. And I know the way that people in Joburg behave as though you need a passport to go to Centurion. But it's absolutely worth, you know, putting on your best shoes and your lipstick and going, because it's very charming. It somehow manages to be a classic high tea and reflect the South African terroir and be just, it's more skilled than anything you'll find anywhere else. That they only do it once a month. It's the last Saturday of every month, and it costs 395 rand per person, but that's including the sparkling wine. And the next one is on the 25th of May, so, you know, that we'll all be sort of election exhausted and in need of little treats. So book now, because they tell me they already have quite a lot of bookings for that date.
Yeah.
You can book on their website, which is www.prulease.co.za, and it could not be more heavenly.
Yep, it was such a treat. I really, really enjoyed it. Next week, we are venturing towards the south of Johannesburg, which I'm quite excited about, to try some snowballs, some queen's cakes, and some ribs, actually. We're going to be so sick.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I just can't wait. I think snowballs and ribs is, yeah, that's almost my death row meal if it wasn't for, like, knickknacks and
Soji.
Yes, and soji.
Soji
too.
The great love of your life. I think not even your husband compares.
No, absolutely. I would definitely swap him for soji.
Dr. Trepido, as always, it's great to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Anna Trepido. She's our resident chef and food anthropologist. If you know of a little corner of 702 land that makes a delicious thing, maybe it is an afternoon or a high tea that you think we should check out, let us know about it on our WhatsApp line on 0727021702.